Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shugel.
We're going to talk about Legal Aid Works this morning, and our good friend Ann Klockner, the executive director of Legal Aid Works, is with us. Ann, good morning. It's been a while since you and I have talked. We've got a lot to catch up on this morning.
Good morning, Ted. We call each other our pandemic pals, and I'm glad to be on this show. I'm really grateful for all the work that you do throughout the year to bring everybody's voice out there. Thank you so much for everything you did this year.
Thank you for all your help, Ann, because we communicate with each other, you're my pandemic pal. We started for a long time, for at least 6 weeks or more, you were on every week. I think it was maybe 2-3 months where we talked every mm-hmm. week when things were changing, and it has been you have really been a good resource to have all year long, because a lot of things continue to change, and we're gonna get into some of those. But I thought we should start off this morning, and instead of just talking about statistics or programs, you've been really involved with a lot of people and the people that you deal with Legal Aid Works, and this has been you have seen this pandemic in a lot of ways through the eyes of a lot of people who have struggled.
And that's the real headline for the whole year, is it's been a terrible, difficult year for everyone. And when you're poor, everything just gets magnified in terms of the effects on you. So we've always had an eviction crisis. That's been continuing long before the pandemic, but this year it got really, really intense, and it affected more people. So what we've seen is that tiny, tiny little margin of error just get reduced to zero, so that if you thought you could kind of make it through a tough time, you could maybe make it through a few weeks without a paycheck. Suddenly those were stretching to weeks and years, you know, almost a full year now, where people haven't gotten their pay. We've had parents who just are desperate about how they're going to feed their kids. So suddenly food stamps is getting more important to people. We've seen a lot of first-time poverty, people who were working class or middle class and just kind of going along. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom just fell out. And they didn't really know how to navigate the public benefits system, which is not easy under even regular circumstances. So just the whole fabric of what we all count on when we're having trouble and we hope is there isn't always in place or isn't always easy to get to. A client of ours did everything right. She applied immediately for assistance. She's been waiting now, I think, 6 months for her unemployment benefits. Those haven't kicked in. And so she is really scrambling to try to find some other way to support her kids. She's tried to apply for jobs. It's really hard to do that during a downturn. So everything is just intensified. I guess that's what I would say, is we're used to seeing very difficult situations for our clients in poverty, people who are low income, who are struggling just to get by, and now this has just been really a difficult year. They've scrambled. They've been really resilient, creative, and coming up with ways to do a lot with a little. But it's been a very, very stressful year. We've seen clients be more emotional, more on the edge. Hmm. And we've also seen the difficulties that everyone usually has navigating the court system, which is never easy, isn't almost designed to be easy. It's designed to be complicated. And now more people are trying to navigate that system because all of a sudden they never thought they'd be in court dealing with an eviction. And now they are. Or they're in court dealing with a very complicated custody issue because they want to change the custody arrangements that would have worked in normal times but don't work now. So lots of adjustments, lots of the sense of there being quicksand under your feet, where you thought you were stable, you thought you were kind of hanging in there, and just one or two bad things happening, and suddenly you realize, oh, I don't have the security I thought I had.
Well, and we always over the years have talked about, you know, and so many people will say, you know, I'm one paycheck away from being in that situation, never really thinking, but I'll be, like you say, I'll be okay. And all of a sudden this year showed that, you know, so many of us are really vulnerable.
And I think there was some statistic a long time ago that I heard about how many people in the United States could not handle a catastrophic $500 expense, like a really bad car repair situation. And I think this is what happens, when you don't have that cushion. And most people might think, oh, well, I can kind of maybe borrow it from somebody, or I can get, they think they might have a plan, but a lot of people are suffering. Another aspect of this also is just public health, you know, being aware of just how important the health department is to making sure that we get good, solid information. I remember at the very beginning of this, I just wasn't sure what to believe. How accurate is this report that I'm reading? And so it was really comforting to know that I could go to the Department of Health and get good, solid information. Sure, it was changing sometimes because people were trying to figure this out and trying to come up with what they thought the best advice was. But I can't imagine now feeling really comfortable in big, crowded situations. I don't know. It's going to take a long time to feel comfortable, like just plopping myself down in court and seeing, 300 of my closest friends hanging out there.
Right. Out in the hallway, or somebody sits next to you. You're sitting, where you are, and someone sits right next to you. It's going
to
be a weird feeling.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. I have seen that. I look at the church pews and think, I don't know when I'm going to want someone to, that's outside of my family sitting right next to me. It's just, it is. That's one of those things. It's just going to take a long time. The other thing, when you mentioned and talked about the person who's waited 6 months to get on to get unemployment, I can't imagine how, when you talk about how people feel frantic and kind of out of control, how you would just look at expenses and just think, every day would be just, is this the day I'm going to get that call, or I'm going to get that, that letter in the mail saying, here's your first check. I can't imagine. And that obviously is playing itself over time and time again.
And that shows up some of the institutions that we kind of thought were in place, but really aren't.
Yeah.
And that is like the VEC, the Virginia Employment Commission. They are trying so hard. They have just an overwhelming number of applicants compared to what they usually do, and they had to retool really quickly. So they've been just reeling at that government agency. And so every single safety net that we're kind of in the back of our heads counting on if we were ever in a rough spot is having a hard time as well. They have employees. Employees get COVID. They're understaffed or whatever. It's just there's a real snowball that happens when you get to that point. And for our client, you know, she is relying a lot on the food bank. She's making it through because she's able to go to some churches or to, you know, get some clothes for her kids or a warm coat for her little girl. So it's a lot of this stuff is just everyone's trying to help. Everyone wants to help. And it's just connecting people with the help that's out there in the community.
Ann Klockner here with the Legal Aid Works. She's the executive director. LegalAidWorks.org is the website to check out and give you all kinds of information. We'll talk this morning about what Legal Aid Works and how that they may be able to help you. LegalAidWorks.org. Ann Klockner here. We'll take a quick break and continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Legal Aid Works, our focus this morning, Ann Klockner is with us. She has been with us, I should have counted the times that you've been on, because it has been a number of times, a high number this year. And again, thank you for all the good information. When this started in March, when everything and really suddenly everything all of a sudden everything started closing and people started working from home, I'm sure when you closed your office in March, you didn't think that we'd be doing a show at the end of the year and continuing to talk about your closed office.
And that, I think, is the theme for everybody. Is we just didn't know what we didn't know. Back in March, we were all hopeful and we were thinking about Memorial Day being the turning point or whatever. And so what we had to do as both a nonprofit and a law office was we had to pivot, and we had to pivot fast. There was just no ramp up time. We had to immediately close our offices. That was the easy decision. But then how do you work remotely? So we converted all of our staff to remote work immediately, which meant bringing everybody's laptops and printers home, giving them office supplies so that they could work from home, developing e-faxing and e-notaries and other things that we could do to work remotely. We had will signing ceremonies in our parking lot.
Wow.
We just had to do what we had to do. So we've never closed. We're as busy as we've ever been. Our attorneys are still going to court. They're still meeting with clients. It's just all remote, and except for going to court.
Mm. Now, you think back, some of those early shows that we did, if you'll remember, for the first couple of months, really our shows dealt with the what bills you should pay first, and we dealt with a lot of that, right? Because it really was, that's what people were dealing with at that time, and like you said in the first segment, for a lot of us it was the first time, you know, ever dealing with this kind of thing. So we would deal with just some of those real basic things about pay these bills in this sequence, and you know that'll get you by for the next month or so.
Yeah, and now we have to look at maybe even another year of this. I hope things will get better. I'm very, very hopeful about the vaccine, and I think that's going to have a really strong positive effect. But we also are going to be really interested to see what the new normal is, what this ends up being even after this. Are we still going to have the same policies in effect? Are we still going to feel comfortable meeting in big groups? So what are we going to adjust in the long term compared to the short term? I know our staff really wants to come back to the office.
Yeah.
I think I have a few staff members who are really thrilled with working at home, but I would say a lot of them just really miss their colleagues. The thing that I miss the most in our office is laughing. I used to sit in my office and I would just hear somebody laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew their laugh, and I wasn't able to hear that anymore. So just the camaraderie of being in an office where you deal with tough stuff, but you're a team and you work hard together, we're still doing that. It's just harder to get that feeling, I guess, of being in a group and a team.
Oh, I'm sure. And I think probably even decision making. Because whereas if you're in the office, I just can walk down the hall and say, hey, Ann, here's the situation. Here's what I'm thinking of doing. Now there's got to be, you've got to either make a phone call or a text or some way. And everything is just a little bit, it just isn't as smooth as it is when you're all together.
I think that's right. And the best part of my day, the part of my day that I love the most, and it's not budgets and spreadsheets and grant reports and things like that. I know that's shocking, but that is not my best part of my day. The best part of my day is when a young, excited attorney bursts into my office and tells me a story of what just happened in court.
Yeah.
And I don't get that. I don't see as much of the day-to-day activity of dealing with our clients and going to court and getting with other professionals. It just is really second and third and fourth hand that I'm getting information now, instead of just that wonderful bursting in of an energetic person who wants to tell me something. So,
And you bring up a good point about, another year or so, and you do see the fact, the vaccine, hopefully starts opening things up. But that there are segments, and there are people, if you're employed by an airline, that's going to take a while. And you just look at different segments that are going to take a while. So this is something that isn't the vaccine by summer isn't just going to open everything up and magically everything returns. It is going to it's going to take a while for some areas.
We've had to work on patience and on creativity. Those are the two things that I think we're really needing to call on right now, because we had to be creative about how we do our work. We couldn't just do it the same way. So what are some creative ways? What can we think about? What are some alternative ways to serve our clients? We had some Know Your Rights presentations on Zoom. We have been trying to, again, meet in parking lots to sign wills, things like that. So we're just going to continue to be as creative and positive and looking forward as we possibly can, but we're going to be patient because we know that this is going to be a long haul. And we've been around for this coming year will be 48 years. That we've been around as an organization, and we're just trying to be as patient, resilient, and creative as we can be.
For people who aren't aware, talk about, in people who are wondering, what in the world is Legal Aid Works? Describe what you do.
So what we do is we go into court when somebody has a civil legal problem. So in the United States, there's no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. That right to a free lawyer occurs only when you've been accused of a crime. So what kind of things happen in civil court? Well, you get civil protective orders when somebody has abused you. So if you're a battered spouse, you could get a civil protective order, but in our country, you would go into court alone if you can't afford a lawyer. And even if there's a lawyer on the other side, if the abuser has the money to hire a lawyer, no one comes in to represent you as the abused spouse. And that just doesn't seem fair to us. So we go in to level the playing field when someone has that kind of civil legal problem. Another example would be a tenant who goes into court unrepresented when a landlord is trying to illegally evict them. So evictions, foreclosures, lots of family law cases, those are all the kinds of cases that we deal with, and they're for pretty big stakes. So it's about your kids. It's about your ability to stay sheltered. And so we're a nonprofit that believes really strongly that it should be a level playing field when everyone goes to court. It shouldn't be a matter of deciding a case based on somebody's income. It should be based on the law and their rights. So that's what we do every day, all day. We're proud to do it. We're excited to do it. It's a wonderful way to help people in need. You can give them food. You can shelter them. But it's even better when you can empower them and then give them their rights to stay in their homes or to have their children or to be safe. And we get to do that through the power of legal representation.
And if people want to get involved and become regular donors to Legal Aid Works, I know that that is an option.
It certainly is. We are a nonprofit just like any other, and so we rely very much on donations. And the best way to do that is to go to our website, which is legalaidworks.org, and click on the donate button. There's lots of different options to give. You can give a one-time donation. You can give monthly at any amount. And you can also donate in-kind donations of supplies, things like that. We're always in need of office supplies. So there's lots of different ways you can support our mission.
Well, and this has been such an interesting year, Anne, because I know what you do is obviously has increased. And even before all of this occurred, you cover such a wide area, have such few attorneys. And if ever there was a time that you needed the support, it's right now.
It certainly is. There's always been poor folks. This year, there's more poor folks than ever before because lots of people slid into poverty as a result of losing their jobs during the pandemic. So the need is always there. And I would say that at least one tiny, tiny little silver lining here in all of this is that I think more people are aware of the need for representation, especially when you're facing eviction. The statistics are really stark. When you are represented, when you're facing an eviction, you're 72% of tenants have a good outcome if they're represented, and only 34% of tenants have a good outcome if they're not represented. So it's just really important to have somebody with you who knows the system, who knows the rules, who can tell you what your rights are and what your obligations are and have it be clear and not something that you're just kind of confused by because of the language or the legalese or anything like that. So it's a super, super important mission, especially in a downturn of an economy or in a pandemic. But it just is something that I think a lot of people aren't aware of because they just assume that you're going to have a lawyer when you can't afford one.
LegalAidWorks.org is the website. Ann Klockner here this morning. She has been a great friend during the pandemic and has provided lots and lots of good information. More information coming up. We're going to talk about what's going on in Congress and talk some more about what the pandemic has meant around here. More News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. As we talk about what's going on with what has gone on with the pandemic. And for you, just kind of personally, I mean, we've all had to change our lives and change things. And I'm sure that you had your own your own self and your own family to think about. You also had your employees to think about. We all were thrown into this so quickly, and I'm sure it was difficult for you personally.
It was a real challenge because I just keep going, you know. I just go, and I started thinking about the staff and what it was like for them. These are colleagues who work so hard.
Yeah.
And now they have to juggle family and school and their kids and their spouses and all that. So as an employer, I was just terrified that somebody would be sick or wouldn't understand that I really meant it when I said, be careful and don't take any unnecessary risk.
Yeah.
We got together a committee really early on that we first called our office reopening committee. We have now renamed it because it was clear that our office wasn't going to be reopening anytime soon.
Right.
And now we call it our office safety committee. And it was just amazing because it wasn't just me saying, here's what we're going to do. Our entire group met, and of course it was remotely, and we kind of parsed through all of the different things you have to think about. What would be our criteria for reopening? How would our Fredericksburg office be different from our Culpeper office or our Tappahannock office? What kind of PPE and other supplies should we have on hand? So we came up with something collectively as a group that everybody felt comfortable with. We came up with, I think it's a 5-stage reopening plan, and we're not even close to stage 2 yet. We're still in stage 1 where everybody's staying away, but doing their work remotely.
Yeah.
And so it for me, just personally, I wanted everyone in my office to first and foremost be safe. And everything else can be figured out. But if we're not safe, if we're doing things that are unnecessarily risky, that's just not tolerable. So it was helpful to have a team together. So it wasn't just me trying to figure this out. So I thought that was a great learning experience for me, is let's pull together a team. Let's pull together a group of really, really smart people who are going to figure this stuff out. And doing it together as a team with lots of buy-in and very deliberate. I think it took us 2 months to come up with our plan of, or maybe it was even 3 months. And now that we have the plan in place, everybody knows it. Everybody can look at it. And it gave everybody a feeling of not being out of the loop, I guess, would be the way to put it.
That is so interesting, though, that you have a plan, but you still are on, you know that you're still at the first stage of that plan, which shows we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, we used markers that we thought were easy and objective. So we set up which websites we would look at and which markers, like, for example, you know, number of new infections have to be below a certain amount. Mm-hmm. Where would we go for that information? What would be the number below which we would say that they're starting to reduce? You know, things like that. So we tried to be as objective as possible. But also one big part of that plan was to say, and if you yourself personally in your individual situation do not feel safe, you have the ability to work from home, so that people don't feel pressured to come back when they're not feeling comfortable. And we'll figure out a way to make it all work. But the most important thing is the safety of the staff, because if the staff isn't safe, I just don't know what the point is. We're really concerned about our clients. We want to make sure we're serving them. We have figured out a way to serve them effectively while working remotely. And we'll be as cautious and careful as we possibly can when we're reopening back up.
Well, and your heart goes out to the people who aren't in that kind of who don't have those kind of jobs or aren't in that situation. And a lot of these are some of the people that you deal with, or some of your clients. They're in positions where they have to, or if you're a business owner and you've got a store somewhere, shop somewhere, and you've got to be there. There is that, and that's kind of been one of the overlying things of this whole pandemic. There are people that just can't, you know, they don't have that choice.
You bet. And we see that a lot with our clients. As you said, they're in service jobs. A lot of them are cleaners.
Yeah.
And so they have to clean the infected places. What's that job like? How do you feel about going into the job every day, knowing that you're cleaning up things that could be infecting you?
Mm-hmm.
How reliable are your personal protective equipment, things like that. So, yeah, it's been a huge challenge. I just think most nonprofits now are really having a difficult year and trying not only financially, it's a huge problem, of course. Lots of our sources of income that we've relied on before, like fundraisers or something like that, had to be totally reimagined. But it's also just a human thing, because we're all people who are employing people that we care about, and we want to make sure that they're safe. And, they're doing good work, and I'm really, really proud of them, and I just want them to be safe.
Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. LegalAidWorks.org is the website. You mentioned early on this morning about how, you know, you talked about how the whole eviction story that we have talked so much about and seen so much about this year was an issue before that. And I go back to at least 2 years and maybe 3 years ago, we started doing We did a number of shows where you brought some of your attorneys in, and we talked about some changes in state law and just some things that were out there. As we have talked about a lot of these issues this year, Ann, I've always been struck that, you know, these are issues you really care about, and they have been magnified so much, and so much, especially the eviction story. That was one that several years ago you were concerned about, and boy, it just became so much more heightened this year.
How can you shelter in place when you're evicted?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most elemental way to protect yourself in a pandemic is to have a stable place to live. Landlords need their money. Tenants need to pay their rent. But when that system falls apart because of a pandemic, we have to take extraordinary measures. And so navigating through this year's series of different eviction laws that have been changed has been a real challenge to any lawyer. This year, I would love to see a study of this. I'm sure they'll come up with it at some point, of just how many laws have changed this year. How many new temporary moratoriums, or how many different systems have been put in place to deal with this? And it changes every few days. So keeping up with that as a lawyer, keeping up with it as somebody who's advising clients, has been a huge challenge, because it's just been so volatile, so many different things. And none of it has really done what I was hoping, which was to have something consistent and uniform across our 17 counties that we cover. Haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
There's at least 17 ways to interpret all of these moratoriums. And so it's been a real challenge for us to advise people, because things are always changing.
We're going to take a break a little bit earlier than we usually do, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about what Congress is looking at, and we'll get Ann's thoughts on that, and then wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Don't wait. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Ann Klockner here this morning, Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org, to find out more about what she does and to get involved with the great work that Legal Aid Works does in our community and really in the region. So Congress is, I'll let you explain what's going on with Congress, because now it's, if whether we get $600 or $2,000, it seems to now be resting with the Senate, as I understand it.
Well, if you're looking to me for an explanation of this,
I am.
it's 5,593 pages.
Oh, okay.
So just let that soak
in. I will. That's a lot of pages.
I'm going to freely admit that I haven't read it all.
Oh, and I expected this.
It's also definitely subject to change.
Yes.
As we're seeing. As it is right now, there is a signed law. So the House approved it. The Senate approved it. President Trump just signed it. So now it's law. However, it's still subject to some change because the House just came through with a measure that said that they're going to up the $600 payments to $2,000, and it's up to the Senate now to approve that or not. So I'm just going to talk about the stuff that I know is in there.
Go for it.
So the first thing to be aware of is if you got that extra $600 per per month, I think it was. I don't think it was per week. For unemployment, it was called a supplemental federal pandemic unemployment benefit. That expired in July. You didn't get that after July. They are now reviving that.
Okay.
But it's going to be just $300 a week. And that's through March 14th. So that's a little extra for folks who are suffering through unemployment. It does extend the benefits for gig workers. It used to be that back before the pandemic, nobody could get unemployment if you were just a gig worker, like working as an independent contractor or a sole practitioner or whatever. And now they had that program early on in the pandemic, and then it expired. Now they're reviving that. They've also extended the maximum period for state benefits, state-paid unemployment benefits to 50 weeks. It had been 30 weeks. So, again, little bits and pieces of extra help for people on unemployment. So that's one thing. The second thing, the thing that most people are hearing about is the direct payments. Folks were getting up to $1,200 at the beginning of the pandemic. That's now at the level of $600 for individuals earning up to $75,000, couples up to $150,000 in income, and $600 per child. The one thing to be aware of is this is still going by your 2019 income. So if you really had an okay income in 2019, but it tanked in 2020,
yeah,
they're not going to pay attention to that. But if you got a $1,200 check early on, you're probably going to get the check for the $600 now. A lot of folks heard about the PPP, which stands for Paycheck Protection Program. That's forgivable loans that aren't taxed, and that went out to small businesses, et cetera. They are redoing that program so that people who weren't in the first wave can now get that program again. And if you are a recipient of that loan, you can get a second loan through that program if you can show that your business lost 25% of its revenue this year. Rental assistance is another part of this act, and it's the first ever federal rental assistance program ever. It's going to be distributed by state and local governments. We don't know exactly how it's going to work yet, but there's going to be a pot of money that is going to be available for people who are having trouble paying their rent. We are going to have an increase in SNAP benefits. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Everybody knows it as food stamps. That's increasing the benefits 15% for 6 months. It also is going to be giving more money to food banks, and we all know how stressed out the food banks are. There's going to be some child care help. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work. I think there's going to be a block grant that is going to go to the states, and they're going to distribute it for more help with to families who need child care help. Out-of-pocket health care costs are deductible after they reach 7.5% of your income. So if you have a lot of health care costs now that are out-of-pocket, you might be able to at least get those deducted. And then the final thing I want to mention on this law is it extends the Centers for Disease Control's eviction moratorium to the end of January. it had expired, or it was set to expire on Thursday, this Thursday, just 2 days from now. But that has been pushed a little bit more down the road to the end of January. So it's not going to help everybody. That CDC eviction moratorium only covers situations where there's non-payment of rent and it has to be COVID-related. We've seen a wide variation in interpretations by judges in this community about what that means. A lot of them take it to mean that a landlord can definitely take somebody to court, get that tenant legally evicted, get that order, but then won't be able to enforce that order until after the eviction moratorium ends. It just means that it's super important for people to get legal advice before they go into court on an eviction matter. So the best sources for information are always going to be either calling our hotline to screen and see if you're eligible and then talk to an attorney, or to go to some of the websites that we've been talking about all summer. The one that has the most comprehensive information about your rights is the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and that's vplc.org. They have a COVID resource tab. You click on that and then go to the segment that you're interested in, let's say housing, and click on that, and it walks you through all the different laws. We're just in the process right now. We're actually going to have a meeting this afternoon of all the statewide legal aides to talk about what is needing, what needs to be in that one-pager Know Your Rights flyer about this new CARES Act relief bill.
You mentioned a hotline. Real quick, what is the hotline number?
The hotline number is on our website, and the best way to get to it is legalaidworks.org. Get help.
Ann Klockner, the Executive Director of Legal Aid Works. Ann, as always, thank you for some great information. Thanks for your friendship. Thanks for all the help in the community you have provided. We'll see you in 2021.
I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
That is it. Thank you for listening this morning. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.